Make it a very sunny Christmas for the horse lover on your list, because today is closing day of the RMTC fundraising halter auction. There are just, as always, a fabulous roster of names, horses of the year, Breeders' Cup champions, Breeders' Cup Classic winners, stallions, you name it. Not just thoroughbreds. There's quarter horses and you name it. There's just like every year, 2-3 dozen halters to choose from, and it goes to a great cause, which is the work that the RMTC does, the Racing Medication Testing Consortium. Dr. Mary Scolay, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
I'm good. I've actually got a separate question. How was your trip to, where did you go? Where were you, Ireland?
No, I had an international meeting in Hong Kong.
And then
Denver. So on Saturday, I left Hong Kong at 4:30 in the morning. It was Hong Kong, Shanghai, Atlanta, and Denver. I'm not sure what time zone I'm in right now.
Hey, Mary, it's Rick Hammerly. How are you?
Good, Rick. Hey, good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you again. I know we've crossed paths a few times. Now, when you were just recently in Hong Kong?
Yeah, this weekend. Last week.
Okay, was that connected to the, I know they had a grading session over there, and I know a couple of people that were over there, so I assume you all connect that and do that all together.
Right. There are a number of committees, international committees that meet. I'm on the Prohibited Substance Committee with Dr. Rick Arthur. We represent North America's meeting. I'm trying to think what other meetings go on, because busy enough with the one that I'm in, I'm not sure. I see lots of friends there, but I don't quite know what committees they're working on.
Yeah, I know that they have a world ranking. In other words, they rank, you know, all the horses, the top horses in the world.
Oh,
committee,
right. Yes.
Committee over there as well. And because I try to call a couple of them, and you get that international tone, and you go, oh, they're not around, and then you get a text, I'm in Hong Kong. Okay. I'm glad, you know, it's funny that it's good that they keep you guys all together, and it's just and it's good to let people know, Mary, that you guys are already literally around the world trying to get some of this stuff done.
That is right, around the world in less than 80 days, that's for sure. But there is an international will to do better, and so it's a good time to get good work done.
Well, the work, of course, that RMTC does, Mary, we've talked about it for years on the show. And, you know, more than ever, being able to provide the kind of support mechanism for the work that, you know, that industry is trying to affect when it comes to model rules and consistency and when it comes to the testing labs, all the things we've talked about, it's got to be paid for. And this is, you know, just one small component, but it actually has become a very big and successful fundraiser each year for RMTC.
Sure, it raises awareness as well as money. And to be clear, this fundraiser is specific to our tactical research, so that's investigating emerging threats, new doping concerns, that sort of thing. It does not actually address funding for model rules or controlled therapeutic substances. This has a very targeted goal, this particular auction.
Talk about that element, and then, you know, where the money goes and how it gets distilled into successful implementations.
Sure, and this is a component of our tactical research fund. Obviously, it's not all the money, but we have funded work in detecting EPO at lower concentrations, at dosage regimens that are reported to be used that perhaps have been able to evade detection prior to this. I think we've got an emerging interest in growth hormones and sort of alternatives to anabolics, because we can regulate the standard anabolics through blood and urine and hair testing. So we have to keep looking for what would alternatives be for anabolic effects. And I think also a component of the meeting, the international meeting, was a discussion about detection of gene doping actually the manipulation of the horse's genetic makeup in order to provide the horse with specific physical attributes that would improve its ability to race. So, interesting stuff.
There's so many. Obviously, we won't get into a heavily technical conversation in this setting, but
sure.
we're at a juncture, Mary, where sadly there seems to be a movement within the industry itself to if not, I don't want to say the word discredit, but certainly to try to diminish the accomplishments and the impact that the work that RMTC has done has had and continues to have, and send out a message as to, number one, obviously the unfairness of that, but also the damage that it seems to be doing.
Well, I guess in general, after all these years in the sport, it seems to me that one of the things that we do best is organize circular firing squads, when we really should be linking arms and saying, we are all doing our best or finding ways to do better to protect the horse, to keep the sport fair, to, represent the interests of the people who are investing in it, whether it's owners, trainers, bettors, that the horses are being, the stewardship of the horse is primary, and if you take care of that, then everybody else is protected as well. And that has been our focus all along, and it remains our focus. There are those who disagree with us. Science is science, and people can interpret scientific results different ways, but, we've got a very diverse board, and we don't put anything forward that the board has not contemplated and agreed on. And so I stand behind the work of the RMTC.
Well, Mary, I was in California for a number of years and worked with Dr. Arthur on, we've discussed a lot of the stuff that you guys have talked about over the years. And what disturbs me now is that it's like, oh, we just started to care for the horse.
It's unbelievable.
This stuff has been going on for decades and decades. Of course we care about the horse. We just don't put out press releases about it. All these studies that you guys have done, we have implemented many of them, at San Anita when I was there. Like I said, Dr. Arthur would come in and we would talk about this. It's like, Doc, whatever you think is right, that's what we're going to do. With competition testing, looking at horses that maybe fall in that category where the red light goes off, and let's check them a couple other times. We've been doing this stuff for years. We just didn't start caring about the horse, a year ago. And so the work that you guys have done in the background has been out there, has been discussed, has been implemented to some extent at varying tracks around the country. So, your work is appreciated within the industry, and I'm glad that there's maybe a chance for, other people now to start to see what you guys have been up to.
Well, thank you. You're right. This has been a long-standing, ongoing effort, and we constantly reevaluate. I apologize. The dogs, I don't know, see something or not. I think the important thing to recognize is that this is not static. We are going to be constantly learning and reevaluating and moving forward, so that at no point do we say, well, mission accomplished, got this, time to move on. So everything remains on the table, being reviewed in consideration of what we know, what more do we need to know. It is a very active and dynamic process.
Well, a dynamic process going on at eBay in the RMTC wing. And the list of this year's halters, as always, some of the biggest stars in recent memory. Whether you want a Zenyatta or a Rachel halter, you can go for either. Do you want Omaha Beach or do you want Maximum Security? You can pit. You can have a contest here and pit them against each other. How about Top Stallions, Spitestown, and Tap It? Really fun. Code of Honor out there. Your last chance for California Chrome.
Yep.
Because you're not going to be able to read his nameplate.
That's right.
because it's going to be in Japanese. McKinsey, Midnight Bisou, War of Will, Songbird, Groupie Doll, Lady Eli, Lava Man, unbelievable. Corona Cartel, if you're a Quarter Horse fan. It's a tremendous list. Arrogate, awesome again. And Mary, thank some of the people. I mean, it's a big list as well. The farms and some of the owners and the people that have donated.
Oh, good heavens. I'd hate to leave anybody out. I mean, I'm just looking at the list now. Edina Springs has come up large with three halters. You know, individually, Dr. Larry Bramlage got us Wise Dan. We've been wanting him for a while, and Bramlage made that happen. Jason Service not only gave us Maximum Security's halter, but the shoes that he wore going into the round table. You know, Rachel's folks, Stone Street, Zenyatta's family, you know, they safeguard her reputation and her contributions very carefully, and we are very, very grateful when they recognize this as a worthy cause to contribute to. Bill Mott and Yoshida, Allison and Shug McGahey, I mean, everybody that we've called, Daisy Phipps Polito, we give them a call, they say, how can we help? And it's been a lot of fun, and it's been heartwarming. You know, Michael Blowen, Silver Charm, sure. Here you go. And it's been fun to kind of come up. I mean, they're the standards, the horses. You know, people really want those halters, and those halters are so well. But I feel a little bit like a racing secretary. I'm trying to spot the star of tomorrow, what horse, what halter is really going to increase in value, you know, after the horse of the year, after the Eclipse Awards or something like that. So we're trying to read the tea leaves and see if we can't generate some real excitement, some perspective excitement as well.
Well, those listening, unfortunately, if you were listening tomorrow to the replay, you're too late. Auctions are ending here in the next hour, next couple of hours. I'm sending out the link right now. The RMTC store, essentially, at eBay. Do not hesitate. There's some real bargains. I mean, the big names in the thousands, of course, like Rachel and Zenyatta, etc. But there's some real bargains here. And if you've got a fan, you got a son, daughter, father, mother, whatever it is that you know would just treasure it. I've got two halters that I just they're some of my favorite collectibles that I've gotten in terms of souvenirs of the industry, and it's the coolest thing to have a halter of horses like this. Mary, as always, I appreciate it, and continued success, and we'll talk and get some RMTC conversations set up for 2020.
Very good. Thank you both. Good talking to you.
Dr. Mary Spillane.
Bye, Mary.
Let's take our last break real quick, and we'll come right back and close out with Bob Baffert. It has been a furious 2 hours and 40 minutes. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only a low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the 5 Kentucky Tracks for Horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
DRF Sports Forum Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Forum delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsforum. Enter code DRF Sports.
What career track are you on? University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Do you ever wonder what happens to your old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years? We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and kept the song on Afternoon Delights absolutely galloping in the Hollywood Futurities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade 1 race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Dick on Sirius XM Radio.
Back at the races, about 10, 12 minutes to close out a busy first morning at Lowe's Ventana. Bob Baffert will be here later in the week. It was a white Christmas in the winner's circle at Los Alamitos. There was white everywhere, and it was that shock of hair of Bob Baffert's repeatedly, five in a row, including the Starlet and the Futurity. Bob, congratulations again.
Oh, thank you, Steve, and I'm glad you were there to see it all. Otherwise, nobody would believe it.
You know what? I was nervous because I made that suggestion to you fairly early that, you know, you could win five straight here, and then you said you're going to jinx me, and I thought, oh, now if it gets beat somewhere along the line, it's going to be my fault.
Yes, I mean, when you said that little comment, I think it was after the second win or something.
It was. It was.
And so I thought, he's going to jinx me. I wasn't even thinking about that. I knew I was live in all of them, and but you know, I wasn't the Futurity. You know, I've won that Futurity every year since it's been at Los Al, but I've always had the favorite, and I didn't have the favorite, but it turned out they made him the favorite at the end, so I can't use that one anymore. But it was one of those days, Steve, that, you know, after, I wasn't thinking, even after the third win, about the five, until I won the fourth. When I won the Starlet, it was pretty exciting because, you know, I didn't think I could beat the other filly, but what a race it was coming down to the end there. And so that was pretty thrilling, you know, for a very short field. They were actually very exciting, those races. So it was fun day. And then for the fifth race, that horse, he was, looked like the heavy favorite, and at the top of the stretch he wasn't running, and for a minute there I thought, wow, this is really, what a bummer, man, I'm not going to win the five. And then all of a sudden he figured it out about halfway down the stretch, and he came running. So that's when it became, like, then it was exciting, you know. It was like pretty I wasn't even thinking about the horse winning the race. I was thinking about, man, we won five in a row, and why didn't we enter six, you know? And so,
Well, you won six yesterday. You went with Azul Coast.
Yeah, we kept it going.
Here's Hammer. Hammer wants to congratulate you.
Congratulations, five, huh? That's pretty good. How many times have you done that?
You know, a friend of mine, this jockey, his name is Rick Oliver. He's still riding quarter horses in Arizona. He's got to be, a few years younger than me. And so he sent me this cut out of this newspaper from 1983 where we won five races in the Prescott Downs in the trials. And we would have won six if we got beat in none of them. I would have won six in a row, but we won five when we got beat in those one of them. And I remember that's the only time I ever won five, and then the other day. And those purses were $300 for the win.
And a belt buckle, right?
No belt buckle for those. You got a belt buckle if you won the finals the next week. And so that's the only time they gave belt buckles. But I remember that day was pretty exciting, and it was pretty cool. But, you know, I never had, I remember winning four the cup when I won four. And so,
yeah, I was explaining why it's hard for guys like you to win five. You got to have five races on the card that you're a Saturday trainer type of guy, and you're not going to win five on a Thursday because your kind of races aren't there. And so you go in two stakes, two allowance races, or in a maiden race, and that's what you need. It's sometimes we don't have five of those on a card for you to even get a shot at. So that's why it's a pretty cool feat. In fact, you won five. And you know you're creeping up to something here. You're pretty close to 3,000. Did you know that?
No, I remember when I was at 2,000, I was at Hollywood Park, and I was in the box. And I want to say it was Ed Burghardt, the announcer from Los Al. I was in the box, and he says, you know, if you win this race, you're going to be at 2,000. I go, really? I go, I'm only 2,000. I thought I was higher than that. You know? So the horse wins, and I go down there, and I go, wow, 2,000, Bob. And I see Jerry Hollendorfer is coming back. He had a horse in the race. I said, Jerry. And I said, how many races have you won? And I think he said, 5,000. Well, 2,000 is nothing, man. What the hell? I'll never forget that. We started laughing. Now, but I really was... When I heard that, I thought, man, I thought it was more than that. I mean, 2,000.
That's funny. Well, see, there's
I
a perfect.
Don't know until that day, you know, until the.
You're 13 away.
13 away.
13 away, which is pretty wild. 3,000. Yeah.
Oh man, it's gonna be.
Now you now I just tough. I did the countdown, did the Talamo countdown where it just stalls, but. Yeah.
We need a Los Alamitos. Another 2 weeks of Los Alamitos.
Well, the rate you're going.
Well, talk about the difference. You have a stable there.
Yeah.
And talk about the difference, how that helps you, you know, why these horses. I mentioned that probably all of these horses have probably been over around that strip at least once. Is that fair enough?
Yeah, they've all been there because they got there as two-year-olds, so they know the strip really well. And but that strip, it's you know, being that they run quarter horses at night, you know, that's why they brought Dennis Moore. It's probably the best dirt surface because it's real dirt. It's dark. It's, you know, it doesn't. But what's happened, these other tracks have gotten away from the dirt and they go to sand. And so they can, if it gets wet, you know, it handles the water better. But it's really safe. I mean, it's not hard underneath. They were floating the top of it, but they were going into it enough to where they're going over the top of it. And that's what they've gotten away from. That's a major problem that we've had at Santa Anita and Del Mar. That is, it's a heavy material that's on there, and it's really hard for these horses. Like you saw that Breeders' Cup, hard for these horses to get through it. And you need a big, strong horse like a Vino Rosso. When I saw him go over it, man, he just loved that stuff, you know. And so some horses get over it fine, but other ones struggle with it because it just, my filly, Bass, you know, she was that day she was just really just exhausted. They come back like they just want to lay down. They're so tired. But they went that way because they thought if they made it deeper and slower, it was going to maybe slow the game down like synthetic does. Then we won't have any, you know, any catastrophic injuries and so. But it just really doesn't work that way. You know, I think
no.
It's really harder on them.
Bob, talk about the two. We're going to be short on time today, but talk about the two stake wins. Certainly, Bast, you said it right away when you came into the winner's circle. When the 640 went up, you were like, she was 2-1, and they made Donna Veloce 2-5. Bast ran a wonderful race in the Breeders' Cup and was courageous, and then you said she'd moved forward since the Breeders' Cup.
Yeah, I mean, she was training much better. She looked like she was training for them when she did the Del Mar debutante. And but actually, I didn't tell anybody that but you. So, so I think the TVG talking heads, I think they were all in on Donna Veloce. So I think they made it a heavy favorite. But the Bast looked just beautiful in the paddock. I mean, she was.
Yeah.
Actually, she was the paddock pick of one of the Christina Blacker, I think, gave her the paddock pick. But
nice,
and she straightened out. She didn't, you know, she got in a speed duel in the Breeders' Cup. I told Johnny, put her in the lead, and a long shot went with her, and they went really, really fast. I think they went 22 on that deep, and she still, the other one, I think, ran last, and she still hung in there and never gave up and ran third and just got beat a little way. So that was just shows you what. And I was so mad at myself, like, wow, I just really hurt myself here. But unfortunately, you know, you got to win in the big days if you want that championship. But she didn't get it. But at least, you know, we know what she wants to do. And that was pretty – I was excited for the Chews. Husband came in from Hong Kong and everything. I told him, I think we're going to run great. They love the game. They show up. And so it was fun. And the fraternity horses – I was disappointed in High Velocity. He came in there. He got a little warm in the, you know, I hauled him in there. I shipped him in there that morning. But High Velocity and that Gingham, they didn't handle it too well. They were pretty worked up in the saddling paddock. I was worried about. I think that cost him. But High Velocity is a lot better horse than that. And Thousand Words, you know, he just this big, immature, long, striding horse that, you know, he's still. He's immature. He's figuring it out. He's not really there yet. So that was pretty impressive with what he did, you know, letting that horse come to him. He had every right to let that horse come to him and just go by him, and he did not let him go by. So that was pretty – that was the most impressive race of the day.
Seeing him in person again, as we did, he is a big, long-bodied horse, and that straightaway has got to help him, and feels like there's a lot of upside yet on Thousand Words as he connects all the dots.
Yeah, and he's when he came back, I was, you know, in the winner's circle there. I was, you know, I like to see how they're blowing, and, you know,
sure.
And usually, some of those horses they do that they'll come back, and I call it the hat. If you put your head by their nostrils and they blow your hat off, that means they don't want to go any further than that. You know? But he didn't. He wasn't blowing at all. I mean, very, very light, very light. And so I thought, wow, this is pretty impressive. You know, a horse like that, because the track was a little bit wasn't real fast. It was
no,
and it was early. It had a lot of water in it earlier. It got faster as the day went on, but. But it was, I was really, you know, I liked that part of it, that when he came back, it was like, I was even telling Jill, look at that, he's not even breathing, you know, that's the way Erica used to come back like that, he wouldn't be breathing at all, you know, so, because he's got that long frame, and he's got that big, long stride, so, those horses, they don't get as tired, they can keep going.
Well, we would love to keep going, but we're going to have you here at Tucson, at Lowe's, this week.
I want to know who took up all my time this morning.
Dr. Scalay.
No.
They want to thank you again from RMTC because the McKinsey halter. We just pushed the halter option.
All righty.
We'll see. We'll see you when you get here.
You got it, Bob right. Baffert. Everybody, and a career day. Not yet. We're not done yet.
All right.
Say hello.
All right,
say goodbye.
See you here. Say
see
hi
you tomorrow.
Yeah, you're staying at Brother Bill's. We'll hope you bring Bill by because I haven't seen him in a while. And Bob Baffert is an RTIP graduate. Got to get that out there.
Back tomorrow.